later on during the praises. Brother Moses, I hope that you will be able to give us these powerful songs that you're giving us.
Church,
if you have been blessed, can you put your hands together for the Lord? I want you to give five people a prophecy concerning yourself, that tonight I'm the first person God will bless. A prophecy for yourself. Tell five people so that there will be witnesses, so that when the angels of blessings are passing, they will all be diverted to you. Does your neighbor believe you? Now, tell five people that you will hear my testimony tonight. Tonight. Five people. Do they believe you? Online members, if you are alone, say it to yourself. Okay, if your neighbor is not yet believing you, tell your neighbor that this night is for me. It's for me. It's for me. Wherever you are watching from, if you are alone, say it to yourself. You can't be saying it and you are sitting down. If you are standing, tell five people, this night is for me. In fact, tell your neighbor, neighbor, now me, you escort come this night. If you believe it, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. As we sing the song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he owes the future and my life is in his hand. Let's sing that song, because he lives. Your hands
unto the Lord. Use your hands and worship Jesus.
No matter what it is, have this assurance. Jesus lives. You can face tomorrow. Nothing will pull you down. You are an unstoppable force because of the Lord Jesus.
Our life is one.
can you put your hands together for the Lord? Give another person a prophecy. Five people. Because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Five people. Tell them. That because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. If you believe it, put your hands together for the Lord. We are here to pray tonight. And we have an assurance that we are not going to spend the night in vain. Because we have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to us. The best of the best of friends.
Your hands.
He's the lily of the valley.
Clap your hands unto Jesus.
Oh yes. When other friends let you down, he's the only friend that will remain with you. With confidence. Oh yes.
He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley.
In him alone I see.
All I need to place and make me fully whole.
In sorrows
is my comfort. In trouble is my sin. He tells me every care on me to roll.
Hallelujah.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Hear all my griefs are sinking and all sorrows more. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I am all for him forsaking, and all my idols gone. All my hands and now he keeps me by his power.
No other one forsake
me. And Satan tempts me so. Through Jesus, I shall safely reach the goal.
Hallelujah.
He's the healing of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me.
unto
Jesus.
He will drive away the gloom.
He will drive away.
friend like Jesus. Oh, Lord, so. Everybody now.
There's no friend like the Lord.
To be seated is the friend that does not condemn anyone that comes to him. In fact, the worst sinner will come to him. He will still hear you, but tell you, go and sin no more. Don't know the kind of friend Jesus is. He's a friend that will help you even in your weaknesses. When other friends forsake, he's the only one that remains. When other friends abandon, he's the only one that stays put. He doesn't fail. He remaineth faithful. He can't deny you. Let's put our hands together for this great friend of ours. He's not only interested in taking you to heaven, giving you eternal life. He's also interested in helping you get there and making your journey from earth to glory, making it comfortable for you. That's why he said, in sorrows is my comfort, in troubles is my stay. And he tells me every care on him to roll. Somebody, that friend will visit you this morning. Your amen is not believing. That friend will visit you this morning. God bless you. We have many preachers in Bride Assembly. But you just permit me to quickly take this night. Because we're in empowerment season. This is January. Normally, our empowerment program should have covered the whole month. But this year, we just had it for 8 days. But anybody that is spiritual knows that January is still empowerment, because it's the beginning of the year. It's the planting season of the year. And if this year is the year of multiplication, one must be careful the seeds he sows. And the sowing season is January. So, because what I want to say this morning is timely, it has to do with empowerment. So you just bear with me. Don't worry, we have many preachers, but bear with me tonight. So we are looking at taming the giants and the little foxes. Taming the giants and the little foxes. Taming the giants. That's the topic of my short exhortation before we launch into prayers. The kingdom of God we belongs to is a kingdom that you need knowledge. If you don't have proper knowledge, you will make mistakes in this kingdom. You'll keep yourself on one spot and you'll be blaming God for it. Do you know what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 15? That scripture makes so much sense to me. Ecclesiastes 10, 15. It says, the labor of the foolish, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, makes them tired, because they don't know how to go to the city. That means he wants to go to the city, but he doesn't know how to go there. So he's laboring, he's trying. But the labor he's laboring is making him tired, because he is foolish. And to be foolish is to be ignorant, to lack knowledge. Praise the living God. Because you can pray and pray amiss. Prayer is truly the backbone of everything. But there are doors that prayers must be accompanied with certain other factors. If not, those doors will not be open. There are doors that you don't use only prayer. You must apply with other things. For instance, from the word of God, we've been taught properly in this church, you can't be talking of prosperity and you are stingy. No matter how prayerful you are, the door of prosperity will not be opened for you when you are stingy. So you see, somebody is prayerful, he's a stingy prayer warrior. His prayer for prosperity will remain. That the type of people that will be praying, Father, do this, Father, do this. Well, for the past 10 years, they've been going to the mountain. They've been wearing the same shoe, and their shoe is already begging God, Father, have mercy and save us. Because the prayer warrior is prayerful, but he does not follow other principles of God's kingdom. Praise the living God. So it is necessary when we come to church, we also pay attention and listen. So we're looking at taming the giants and the little foxes. There are things, if some of us will be sincere with ourselves and take a proper reflection of previous years, you'll discover that some things that stopped certain of us are not witches, are not wizards. The things that stopped some of us are not even curses or covenants. The things that stop some of us is not demon husband or demon wife. It's not your occultic neighbor. It's not even bad governance. Don't you ever blame the governance for your lack of progress. Because in the same economy where people are blaming bad governance, I said in my neighborhood, every day they are building new houses. It was one day, it just dawned on us. The people are shouting, no money, no money. Everywhere in this estate, they are building new, big mansions. Where are these ones making their money from? And everybody, and the kind of cars I'm seeing in Lagos State, AMG, Benz, Lexus 600, Range Rovers, they are not cars of 40 million, 50 million, 60 million. So you are shouting that government, another person is making it. So don't you ever blame the government. Because our pastor, our dad in the Lord, will always say that don't you ever expect things to get better. So if you are waiting for another government that would make things better, you wait in vain. Why are people making it under this bad governance? But like I say, there are many other factors that must have caused setbacks for some of us. It's not just every power. Because if somebody will be sincere with himself, you prayed very well last year. You fasted. In fact, some people went to mountain, went to camp. But why is it that even your spiritual life or other aspect of your life, why were you held back? Why was there no progress? There are certain things that might have caused it. Not limited to what I'm saying, but what I want to say today might have been part of these reasons. So these are what me have looked at. I've termed the giants and the little foxes. I pray for somebody that every giant that delayed you and kept you in one position in 2025, you will subdue that giant this year in the name of Jesus. It's necessary we identify the giant. Sometimes stop looking outside. Look within. Your problem may actually be within. It's not every problem that is from external forces or from outside. Several people are delayed in life. Several people are delayed in their progress because of internal factors. These internal factors are the giants and the little foxes. When we speak of giants, we are speaking of those big, loud, visible things that weigh us down and keep us from progressing. Everybody knows if a giant should enter here now, it will catch your attention. If a man that is just, let me say, 7 feet tall should enter here, everybody's attention will be fixed on that person. How much more a giant? How much more a giant? So a giant is something big that might have weighed you down, that might have kept you from progressing. Let's see something in Numbers chapter 13 from verse 1 to 3. Numbers 13 from verse 1 to 3. It's the story of giants. We'll pray, but this is one of the empowerment sermons. That is why I quickly want to chip it in before going to prayers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they should search the land of Canaan, which have given unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, and every one of them must be a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All the men that he sent were heads of the children of Israel. Note that. Now let's go to verse 26 of the same Numbers 13. I want us to see this story. Numbers 13, 26. After they went to search the land of Canaan, 40 days they were searching the land. The land that God said he would give them, the promised land. He said they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, yes, we came unto the land where you sent us. And truly, surely, it is a good land. It is a land that is flowing truly with milk and honey. In fact, see the fruit of it. This kind of fruit we didn't see in Egypt. We are reading. Move on, verse 28. But see something. It said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekite dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittite and Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were giants, men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as what? As grasshoppers. Praise the living God. So giants are those big things that can actually press you. And if you are here on Sunday, ordering the Lord saying we must conquer Canaan. Canaan must be conquered. So the message is still in line with what he taught us on Sunday. If you don't tame the giants, they may hinder you again this year. Giants are big. But on the other hand, we are also talking of little foxes. Foxes are small animals. But these small animals can cause great damages. So when we are speaking of little foxes, we are speaking of small, small things that we tolerate. Those small, small things that you are overlooking, but yet may actually be working against your progress. Praise the living God. If we don't tame the giants and the little foxes, somebody, you may end up this year the way you ended up last year. You may shout Happy New Year with great expectations. In fact, you may come back. They have anointed you. You will dance, go again and come back. Pastor, anoint me 7 times because this year I must be blessed. If you don't tame the giants, regardless of the anointing that was poured on your head, you may not end up progressing again this year. Like I said, we are not really looking much with that. We are not looking at powers. It's not every problem that is foundational power. It's not every problem that is demon wife. It's not every problem that is evil uncle, evil auntie. It's not every problem. There are many problems that are caused by certain other things. And we must confront those giants. Praise the living God. So without wasting much time, let's go further. Looking at the giant, let's look at the giant. Number one is the giant of fear. Fear is a giant. Many people are not held back by demons or witches, but by fear. Exactly what we read. Let me see if somebody understood the scripture we read. What hindered the children of Israel from going to the promised land? It's fear. Not the giant, it was the fear. I don't know if somebody understands me. There were two categories of people among those 12 people that were sent. 10 were held back by fear. 2 said, no, let's go and take the land. We are able to take the land. So the problem of the Israelites was not the big men that they saw. The problem of the Israelites was that fear held them back. Many of us are held back by the giant of fear. That's why many scriptures in the Bible, you will hear, fear not. Please help us work on this sound. It keeps breaking. Sorry. Many scriptures in the Bible, you will hear God or the angel of God appearing to his people. Fear not. Be not afraid. Fear not. Be not afraid. Some of us are not held back by our uncles. Some of us are held back by fear. Fear has no reason to stay in our lives. The children of God have no right to fear. Because scripture says that if God be for us, who will be against us? The fear of some people is fear of what we people say. Some of us are even afraid of failure. You are in the job that you know that this job is wasting my time, wasting my destiny, wasting my energy. You have a business idea. There is a business that you know I can even start. It is not lack of capital that is keeping somebody back. It's fear. You have a talent, a gift that you know, I know how to do this, I know how to do that. I know how to do this, I know how to do that. Somebody that doesn't even know how to do it up to you, he's using it to make millions. But you are held back by fear. So what is holding you back? It's not foundational power. For such a person, there is another giant that is suppressing you. Some people is the fear of, if I try now, what if I fail? Have you tried first? A close sister of mine wrote, I can, 9 times. 9 good times. When we were in secondary school, she was the assistant head girl. The head girl was from the science class. She was in the commercial. She was the most intelligent in her class. So, if you're talking of intelligence, she was very intelligent. Now she has finished, graduated from UNILAG, read accountancy. For 9 good times, year after year, she kept writing I can. What is going on? She kept failing. She will prepare, she will fail. Now, we know that there was something not right. Because if you speak of intelligence, she had the brain. But you know something? The fear of what if I fail again did not keep her down. She didn't even receive a prophecy that try again. But she tried last year, After the ninth time, and she cleared it, she made it. Not only so, for the first time, even before the icon came out, a very good job in a very good firm came looking for her. Then after the job came out, one of our mobile network providers in Nigeria, another company called her. And she was like, the job that she got now is 100 times better than what she had before. Now my reason for sharing this story was that, what if she was afraid of failing? The problem with some of us is not the power that we are fighting. It's the fear, the giant of fear that is keeping us. You would rather remain in a position instead of you to try to make a change for yourself, because you are afraid of what will people say? What if I fail? What if this does not work? I read the story that the man that created discovered the electric bulb, I think it's Thomas Edison, right? That he tried 99 times. And when they asked him that you've tried, and he said, I didn't fail 99 times. I only discovered in 99 times how not to make the electric bulb. There's a very interesting story in the Bible of the four lepers. I think it should be 2 Kings 9. There was famine in the land. No food. The lepers said, if we stay here, we will die. If we go to the city, there's no food, we will die. Let us do something. Please help me tell your neighbor, do something. Let us do something. Let us go to the camp of the Samaritans. If we die, if they kill us, it's still dead. But if they save us alive, we have food to eat. By the time they got there, what happened? Somebody, your blessing is waiting for you to take a step. Your blessing is waiting for you to take a step. Somebody. As a child of God, don't you ever look down on yourself. Don't ever let your background keep your back on the ground. You are not going to be blessed as a child of God because you know somebody. God will use people. When I mean know somebody, I mean you are from a rich background, you are intelligent, you know people from you. God will not take the glory when your background is good already. So don't you ever think, The Bible says, open wide your mouth. And I will fill it up. So, but many of us are withheld by fear. Fear. Please tell somebody, fear not. Some of us, even when God has given us many promises, the giant of fear is still holding us bound. When you should move, you cannot move because fear is keeping you from moving. Certain people are enjoying great blessings in life because they tamed fear. In fact, the one that should make you even more concerned is something you know you can do, but something is making you afraid of going to do it. That's the one you should be more concerned, that this thing that is, that's the demon of fear. And the only way to tame it is to confront it. And you confront it with knowledge that if God be for us, who can be against us? You confront with the knowledge that the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want. Brethren, as we move further in this year, this is the 16th day of the year. Don't allow fear to hold you back. Are we together? You know what happened to the children of Israel? Because of their fear. You see our God. God did not say, okay, you people go. I will show myself as the mighty man in battle. He didn't say anything. Their fear made God to turn his back from them. I don't know if somebody understands me. Because God has shown them, the same God that dealt with Pharaoh, that parted the Red Sea, that brought you thus far. You have gone to see the land. You have confirmed it's a good land. But you are afraid. At that point, God didn't say anything anymore. Instead of him to lead them, he punished them. He said, you will spend 40 years in this wilderness. Somebody may be in a wilderness because the giant of fear is suppressing you. Fear not. I remember Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Esther 4:16. It's a very interesting story. If the king doesn't call for you and you appear before him, they will cut off your head. Except the king stretches out the golden scepter. And now Esther's people are in trouble. Mordecai is telling her, go speak on our behalf before the king. It was a dangerous, a very risky venture. For 30 days, the king has not sent for me. I hope this man is not even unhappy with me. But he says something. He said, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. This last statement is my emphasis. And if I perish, I perish. Somebody, until you decide that, until I get that thing or try dying, you may not get it. Fear not. Tell somebody by your side, fear not. Fear will weaken the sword in your hand. Many times it is not the absence of God's power. It is the presence of fear that is hindering God's power. Some of us are afraid of some wicked uncles and aunties. Afraid of some occultic people. That you are supposed to see as, this is time for God to prove himself. Fear is a giant. And if you don't tame it, it may hinder your progress. If you have a passion, a desire, a promise from God, don't let fear hinder you from following it. Don't let fear hinder you from trying. Don't let fear hinder you from taking a step. Don't let fear keep you in your comfort zone. Do like Esther, pray fast, but tame the giant of fear with courage and boldness. Don't let fear kill you. Some people die before their time because of fear. Do you know there are some people that don't expect good news? Let me not use some people as an example. They don't expect good news. Once, I know some people, some close ones, that they are quick to be afraid because when you call, calm down, what is going on? What happened to your uncle? What happened to your auntie? Fear is not good. You may be having unnecessary high BP because of fear. That condition that you have phantom in your head, you have designed, you have calculated, this is it. It might not play out that way, but fear has kept you in an unnecessary stress. Fear is a giant, somebody. This year, fear will not get you down in the name of Jesus. Let's read the story quickly before we move to the next giant. 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Saul and the children of Israel were battling with the Philistines. He said, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor. Hear what Jonathan is saying. He said, come, let us go over unto the Philistines garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. He didn't tell others because they were afraid. Verse 2. Saul tarried in the uppermost of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were about him were 600 men. But see the fate of Jonathan. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the lost priest in Shiloh, were in an effort. And the people knew not that Jonathan had gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And name was of one was Bozes, and name of the other Shina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to his bodyguard, come, let us go over unto the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Please pay close attention because we learn from Bible. He says, for there is no restraint. Hey, for the Lord to save by many or by few. God is not looking at your size or your intelligence before he helps you. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto those men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. What happened? If they said unto us, wait till we come and meet you, then we'll stand in our place, we'll not go to them. But if they say we should come, verse 10. But if they say come, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And if you read on and on, because of Jonathan, many of the Philistines were slaughtered that day. Because one man did not remain in hiding, but came out in fear. Somebody, God is waiting for you to take a step. God is waiting for you to do something. The giant of fear that has been holding you bound, you are free from it in the name of Jesus. Let's move on. Close to fear is the giant of unbelief. In fact, I don't know, let me say unbelief is the senior brother of fear. And there are many people, many children of God that exercise unbelief in certain times. Let's quickly read a scripture. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. When God has given you a promise, you must believe it. And not just a promise, you must exercise faith in every attribute of God. He says, and he did not many mighty works there. Because of what? Please go back to that verse. Matthew 13, 58. The Lord Jesus did not do many mighty works. Because of what? This unbelief, many of us have it. You don't believe what God is saying about you. You don't believe what God can do in you and through you. So because of your lack of faith, because of your unbelief, God is limited to doing certain things, small things in your life. Many of us are limiting God. That's why I love the scripture in Genesis 13, 15. God told Abraham, look to the east, to the west, to the south, to the north. He said, oh, let's read it. Genesis 13, verse 15. I love the statement. Genesis 13, 15, please. Genesis 14, 14. Okay, 13, yeah. 13, that's the scripture. Go to verse 14. He said, the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Look northward, southward, eastward, westward. Verse 15. For all the land which thou... Only one person is responding to me. All the land that you do what? That is what I will give you. What you don't see, God may not give you. It is what you see that God can give you clearly. That is where unbelief comes in. You have seen a promise that I wish that you prosper and be in health. And yet, you are still looking, you are not dreaming big. That God can, you are not seeing yourself that God can make something good of you. It's unbelief. You are limiting God. Do you know who you are? You're a prince, you're a princess. But you are limiting God. If you don't know the words, let's assume you are the heir of a rich man, of a man. Let's say one's father passed away. And you thought your father, because you saw your father riding bicycle all the time. You saw him as a poor man. You felt this man doesn't have anything. But one day somebody, a group of people should just look for you and come and meet you, visit you. And start telling you, are you the son of late so? Yes. Yes, we can see you are his son. This is your picture. This is your name. Your name is Nelson Salami. Yeah, we are from so bank. Your father deposited $10 billion. And he says when he passes away, we should give you. How will your work be from that day? But you thought your father was poor. So he has died. You are not expecting much. The day you know that your father was rich, your stand will change. Many children of God are living underprivileged lives, not because of God, because they limit God. God can take that business to the next level. But many of us are held back by the giant of unbelief. That's why it's good to read the Bible. See the things he has said concerning you. See the attribute of God and claim those attributes. Hold on to it. And then see him manifest himself in your life. Unbelief is a serious giant. Don't be hindered by unbelief. He says a miracle worker. There are certain songs that our overseer sings in this church. Those songs are scripture. They are to boost the faith of people. For instance, when he says from rags unto riches, from thistles to gold, it takes a beggar and makes him a king. That should create faith in the heart of anybody. That this is the attribute of God. Therefore, he will do so in my life. But many of us are in that. You see a Christian that prefers to be begging people for money. You're hindered by unbelief because you don't know that, on the contrary, you are supposed to be the one giving people money. Apostle Paul said, let him that is not doing anything go and look for something good to do so that we have to give to the poor. So Christians are automatically supposed to be people that bless others. But you have looked at your life and no go school. You have looked at your family, no rich man. Therefore, you have carved for yourself a limited future. It is the giant of unbelief holding you back. You are supposed to say, with God on my side, I will be the first to break this record in my home. Ah! In my family, it's bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. Don't worry, I will be the first to drive G-Wagon to my father's compound. That is somebody dreaming big. Don't be hindered by unbelief. In anything you do, don't be hindered by unbelief. Because of you, there could be double and triple promotion in your office. Because of you. We, as children of God, we ought to be working in the supernatural realm. Miracles should be common things around us. That's the truth. Miracles should be common things around us. But because of the unbelief of many of us, God is limited in the manifestation of his power in our lives. It is a giant. This year, tame the giant of unbelief. One of the ways to do it is to be confessing the word of God. It is written. Ah, it is written. I wish that you prosper and be in health as my soul is prospering. Father, my soul is prospering, therefore I must prosper. It is written. Thou will bless the righteous with favor, without compassion as a shield. By the time you keep saying, it will enter your head, it will enter your spirit, and you will see yourself walking in the reality of the word of God. Don't allow the giant of unbelief weigh you down. Somebody shout fire. Thank you. You are alive. Okay, one scripture before we go to the next giant. Matthew 14 from verse 25. I love this scripture. It demonstrates exactly what we are saying. Matthew 14, 25. Matthew 14. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus said unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Next verse. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, Peter walked on the water. Something supernatural was going on. A miracle was taking place. Peter was walking on the water to go to Jesus. Next verse. But a giant came when he saw the wind boisterous. He was... Oh, this one is even for fear. I forgot to bring it up for fear. The giant of fear appeared. You were already walking on the water. So it was not the water that was drowning you. It was the fear that was pushing him down. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Both fear and unbelief. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little... Why did you doubt? If you have a proper understanding of what we read, will you say that the power of God was not manifest? It manifested now. That means fear and unbelief can hinder God's power. When there was no fear, when there was no unbelief, he walked on water. When unbelief and fear came, he sank on the same water. He began to drown. So is it that the Lord Jesus has removed his power? No. So many times, it is not God that has not answered prayers. It is the giant of unbelief or the giant of fear that is holding back some people. If you don't confront these things, you may remain on the same level, blaming God. When you start seeing people saying, I've been serving God for many years, I've been doing this for years, this has not changed. Who told you? Tame the giant of fear. Tame the giant of unbelief. Somebody shout hallelujah. Giant number three. I want to be fast so that we're going to prayers. Is the giant of bad character. In this church, we have said so much about character, but it's like the more people are scrubbed from the pulpits, the more they keep appearing dirty, some people. But we know that some people are taking the word of God and are changing. There are some people that are not held back by foundational power, so they are held back by the giant of bad character. Character odor is worse than body odor. I heard that from Brother Jude, that there's such a thing as character odor. When somebody that has a very terrible body odor should enter, you know, it's terrible. And you know the worst part? Many people will not tell you that you are smelling. It is behind you. Body odor is a bad thing. Body odor and mouth odor are terrible things. Anybody that tells you, brother, you have body odor, thank the person. Anybody that tells you your mouth is smelling, thank the person. Don't fight the person. Because many people will not tell you. Behind you, they'll be saying it. So people, when they leave, you will use air freshener. When you leave, they will use air freshener. That is how character odor is. Many people will not tell you you have a bad character, but behind you, they'll be saying it. I'm telling you. Many people will not tell you that this person has a stinking character, has a terrible character, that the problem of this person is character. But behind you is a topic of discussion. But you can always look within. When you see something that has become a pattern, a trend, why will you be losing your job in different places almost for the same reasons? If it's not that they just woke up and sacked you, if it's because they keep pointing out to something you're doing, then look within. Why is it that every relationship I have with a man, when it's progressing to reach one point, it will cut off, it will cut off, it will cut off? Many a times, it is not foundational power. Devil is a liar, devil is a liar. Some things that we are accusing Satan for, he's shouting, I am innocent, I am innocent. Look within, it could be a character. And bad character is a giant. A giant that is bigger than Goliath. Bad character is terrible. The power disturbing many of us is that bad character. Some of the bad character, we don't need to dwell on this one, include pride. You refuse correction. You refuse counsel. Any small position or small wealth, your shoulders are lifted high. You can't talk to people with respect and humility. It's a bad character. Don't you forget that we live in the kingdom of men. For God to save man, God himself subjected himself to the law of man. He even came as a man. So don't you ever think that you will not need man in life. You will always need men. No matter the promises over your life and destiny, you will need men. The richest man in Nigeria today is Dangote. If the poor man is not buying his sugar for how much? 50 naira or how much? If those 50 naira products are not buying, we are not buying for him, where will he make his wealth? We need men in our lives. It is one thing for God to settle you forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is settled in heaven, but on earth, you can chase away the angel of man by the bad character you display. There are many sisters that are not married today. It's not power, it's character. Giant of character. There are many men that are not where they are supposed to be. is the giant of character. And one of the characters you must watch out for is character of I know it all. The character of where you put yourself in an attitude that you feel you have arrived, you are perfect, you know it. Watch out for it. Character of stubbornness, refusal to change, you can't adjust. Character of wickedness, there are some that are wicked. And no wicked person will find peace. If you are wicked and you have peace, it's momentary. That your wickedness you are doing will still bring evil to you. Because life is what you sow is what you reap. Character of selfishness. Brethren, watch out for this giant of bad character in 2026. This may be what held you back in 2025. This may be what suppressed you in 2025. Do you know that common courtesy, businessmen and women, common courtesy that you should have with your customers. A customer coming to buy from you is doing you a favor. You're not the only seller. But the way that some people behave to their customer, then you're wondering why you're losing customers. It is not foundational power. It is your character. It's not foundational power. It's your character. Some of us will be in places, even in a social function, there is a way the MC will talk about you, whine you. Social function, you know, you will be compelled to bless him. Especially if he's a comedian, there's a way he will make jest of you. You know what he's doing? He's being sweet with you. He will finish whining you, making you laugh. Then you start and say, settle up, sir, settle up, sir. Before you know, you have brought out unbudgeted money and you have given to him. He applied a wisdom of good character. How will you feel if you go to a social function and the person that is the MC is your enemy and is giving you left, right, center, insulting you? They carry mic, they insult you directly or indirectly. You'll be boiling, you will not want to stay there. That is how some of us are with the people we meet. When was the last time you told a customer, thank you? When was the last time you told a client, thank you? There is a way you will have good customers' relationship that even if you don't offer the best, your customers will remain committed to you. Character. Let's watch out for it. I believe the privilege we have in a church like this to hear certain things is God's blessings to us. Because you can be prayerful and still be frustrated. Prayer will never take the place of good character. Bad character is a giant that holds back many people. This year, don't allow it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Sorry, we'll soon finish. Giant number four, giant of discouragement. Discouragement can be a giant. Discouragement from your loved ones. Discouragement from people you look up to. Discouragement from people around you could be a serious giant. Imagine you as a husband, you went home and maybe you are planning on what to do, and your wife is just discouraging you. You don't go to work. You know, just saying all manner of things. Hey, see this one. Emeka, you're going out too. It will not work. Just do and come back home because you will not make it. That arrow from our mouth alone can kill you. So discouragement is also a giant, and Satan uses it for many people. In the Bible, Apostle Paul was even warning parents that fathers, don't discourage your children. He said, how did he put it? I think it's Colossians. He said, don't be angry with your children lest they be discouraged. There's a way he put it. There are times in life that you may face discouragement from places that you expect encouragement. Is a giant to tame you. You are the owner of your life. Oh, God is the owner of your life. You will answer for your life. So don't let the doings of another person keep you bound. Don't be discouraged. 1 Samuel 30. We read it yesterday in the anointing service. 1 Samuel 30 from verse 1. 1 Samuel 30 from verse 1. Can we read it? And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And invaded Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were daring. They didn't kill anybody, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their children were taken captives. Verse 4. Then David, and the people that were with him, they did what? Lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. I know I'm the Jezreelites, Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Now, verse 6 is my emphasis. David was greatly distressed. Why was he distressed? Not just because they took captive their people, but because the people that he had been leading, they spoke of stoning him. When a leader faces such rejection, he can commit suicide. The people that have been ailing David, the slayer of the giants, the people that stood with him and said, Saul is after your life, we will follow you. For the first time, they turned against David. Why? Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. And that brought about a change. When you face the giant of discouragement, encourage yourself in the Lord. When your parents, your loved ones, your brothers and sisters are telling you nothing good will come out of you, it's discouraging. Encourage yourself in the Lord. When your wife or your husband is not seeing anything good in what you want to do, is not seeing the success that can come out of you, all they're doing is just discouraging you and looking down on you, that can anything come out of you? Encourage yourself in the Lord. When you're bringing new ideas, sometimes when you read stories of several corporations, I don't know, let me not mention the name. There's a particular fintech. Is it a fintech? Yeah. From what I read, the founder of that fintech was in one of the banks, brought the idea to the bank. They rejected it. So, that's discouragement. But he went and did it, and today, they are controlling billions. In fact, more Nigerians are opening accounts in that particular fintech. And those banks now are threatened by such a bank. Discouragement can come from any angle. It's a giant to suppress you. Imagine David did not encourage himself in the Lord. We would not have known that God is a God of restoration. Because God now told him, pursue, overtake, and recover. And David went there, conquered them, and gained more wealth. So when discouragement comes your way, don't let it weigh you down. Encourage yourself in the Lord. If I'm talking to you, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Oh yes. Another giant, we have two more giants to look at. I know that sin is disobedience, or the giant of disobedience. What I mean by disobedience is anything God tells you to do and you're not doing is a giant. Disobedience is a giant. Your prosperity lies in your obedience to God. See something? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, there is a promise that if the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want. But do you know the work of a shepherd? A shepherd is also to lead the sheep. So when you are disobeying the commandments of the shepherd as a sheep, you will want. He's your shepherd, but you will want because you are in disobedience. Are we together, brethren? Disobedience is a giant that can limit you, hold you back. And it's both to the written word and to the spoken word of God. It still amazes me how God will tell some people, you saw a revelation. God spoke to you about something, and still yet you are not walking in it, you are not obeying it. It still amazes me. God showed you something that you should do or you should not do, and still yet, God told me to come and be cleaning the church, and still yet you're not doing it. That's a serious giant, because God will only give you an instruction. He will not tell you the blessings that will follow. Why? Because he wants a relationship. So he's not doing a business. He's not doing transaction with you. He knows if I tell you, do this so that this will happen, you do it. But God wants also to prove your obedience. He will only give an instruction, do this. He'll be watching you. But you don't know the blessings that are attached to that instruction. And many children of God are disobedient. There are some of us that we pay our tithes, mini, mani, mo, this month. That's how you do. You pay this month, next month you don't pay. You pay this month, next month you don't pay. And you are asking why God is not blessing you as he should. You are held back by the giant of disobedience. God told Peter in Luke 5, the Lord Jesus told Peter, he said, launch out into the deep and cast your nets for a draught. Peter said, we have toiled all night. Imagine you telling a fisherman, this is afternoon, when they know that the best time for them to catch fishes is in the night. We didn't see anything. There's no fish in this water. Nevertheless, at thy word. And when he did, the Bible says that the two ships began to sink with the great multitude of fish that they caught. Somebody, your disobedience is hindering you from going to the next level. Anything God says you should do, both from his spoken word and his written word, do it. Are we together? Disobedience is a giant. I love what a sister did this year. God spoke to her about joining the music department. Instantly, that day, she said, no, for God to give me this instruction. Immediately, she decided and went to see the head of the music department that this is the instruction I got from God. Now, we don't know what God wants to do. We don't know what God wants to do through that, but an instruction has come. Your own is to obey. Trust and obey to see the goodness of God. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, what will happen? Ye shall eat the good of the land. Somebody, your last year was frustrated. 2025 was frustrating for you. Not because God was not faithful, but because you were held back by the giant of disobedience. This year, make up your mind to live in total obedience so that you will enjoy the goodness of God. Somebody praise the living God. Make up your mind to live in complete obedience. Disobedience is a giant that hinders us. Whenever you disobey God, brethren, pay attention. Whenever you disobey God, you deny him the opportunity to bless you. Whenever you disobey God, you deny him the opportunity to bless you. Let's read that scripture I read earlier. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Isaiah 1 19. If ye be willing and obedient, what will happen? You will eat the good of the land. Verse 20 says what? If you refuse and rebel, say you shall be devoured with the sword. The sword here is God's way of punishing you. Please tame the giant of disobedience in 2026 so that you will enjoy the blessings of Canaan. We are talking about conquering Canaan. That's what we are still looking at. Somebody shout hallelujah. The last giant on my list, before we quickly talk about the little foxes and enter prayers, is the giant of bad company. Bad company, bad association. It's a giant, oh. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, the company you keep affects you. The company you keep, consciously or unconsciously, affects you. Whether you know, I'm wise, nobody can influence me, is a lie. 1 Corinthians, it is because of people that have that mindset that 1 Corinthians 15:33 was written. Let's see it. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It starts with a very funny statement. Be not deceived. Because many of us are deceiving ourselves. Your friends are not going your way. You are keeping friends, you are keeping company, friends of people that will diminish your value. But yeah, no, don't worry. My friends cannot influence me. I know I'm a strong willed person. It's a lie. All of us are open to influences. Everybody is open to influence. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts what? The kind of company you keep, we cut you short or take you far. You can't want to be a serious-minded person. And the principles I'm bringing out is not just for our spiritual life. It's for every aspect of life. and you are following people who are not serious minded. Any man whose friends are adulterers and fornicators, who when you people gather, you are just talking about how you are sleeping about, you will carry the spirit. Before you know it, you will not know when you two will start lusting, and the spirit of that communication will enter you. You will practice. If your friend is somebody that hates people easily, you will hate people easily. If your friends are people that like talking negative about people, whenever you people gather, you start opening the book of life of everybody. You see, Brother Emeka, see as in here they shine. Brother Emeka, this, he see as his stomach big. I know saying a beer they drink. See as he be. You will carry that spirit. You will. That's why it says, be not deceived. Any aspect of life, the company you keep matters. If you as a woman are friends, you are keeping company with people who don't have value for marriage, respect for marriage. If you are keeping company with people that tell your husband said this, give it back to him. Tell them, we're not going to take shit from all these men. The person that is talking to you, her marriage is broken. Maybe the second time marriage is broken. She's a single mother. All the men she has married are running from her. She's the one that you are keeping company with that is advising you. Your husband do this. If your husband give you ta, give him ta-ta. What will happen to you? One day your husband will talk to you and you will slap your husband. Be mindful of the company you keep. Be mindful of the company you keep. One certain time I saw on somebody's status a woman that was in church singing. She's supposed to be singing worship song. She started then, she now entered the worldly song. Oh, before she knew, she recovered herself. What happened? Maybe that Saturday she was in the club keeping company with people and singing such a song. She don't forget, say she don't come church. So what is she singing? Instead of her to be singing, oh, ba 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 ba, next thing is, lo 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 lo, let me see you. She got herself company. That's why sometimes when we hear cowbell, our milk from our, you see, I'm. Company matters, brethren, because people carry spirits. Words are spiritual. Characters are spiritual. There's a popular adage that if your friends are 5 billionaires, you are the 6th. They'll say, see these billionaires going. You don't get money, but the people you're always with are billionaires. Their glory has covered you. Are we together? They say if you are friends with somebody that is talking abroad, any small thing, abroad, you two start saying abroad. Your friends, the company you keep is a reflection of your values. Forget what anybody says. Check who they keep as friends. Then you can tell who they truly are. Friends matter. Many people are held back by the giant of bad friends. Don't make friends with people that don't see the good in you. Don't make friends with people that don't see a brighter tomorrow for you. Don't make friends with people that will sell you when it is convenient for them. Be friends with people who will add value to your life, because iron sharpeneth iron. Friendship is like a relationship. What are you bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the table? If your friends are not adding value to you, then they may be reducing your value. Please, let us be careful of bad friends. Praise the living God. Now let's quickly touch on the little foxes. I'll not waste time on this one. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Giants are big. You can easily identify the giants. Can we see that scripture? Songs of Solomon 2:15, please. But little foxes are small. You will even bear, you will have the little foxes, you will not even see it as something terrible. Songs of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15. Okay, thank you. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. So there are little things that many of us may be overlooking that is actually limiting us. And I'll briefly mention them. Do you know one little fox that you must watch out for this year? Poor time management. Poor time management is a little fox. You can stay on Facebook for 3 hours. You are not marketing anything. You are not on Facebook advertising something that will bring money to you. You are only scrolling and liking. Not even that you are streaming so that people will join and you'll be making money like many of these vloggers today. You are only liking and loving and unnecessary chats. 3 hours, 4 hours. Some of us, our sleep. You will be on the bed by 11 p.m. and you'll be scrolling till 2 a.m. And you have to wake up by 6. Then the next day, you're waking up, you're having headache because you did not sleep properly. Poor time management. It's a little fox. You don't need more time. You need more time management. You need proper time management. God that gave us 24 hours in a day is not unwise. What we need is not more time. I wish I have more time. I wish I have more time. I will achieve more. If you have not managed properly your time, how can you be talking of you wish you have more time? There are many of us that waste our time. A serious-minded person that is on a goal to achieve something cannot be watching 2-3 matches in a day. Only you watch this one. You watch Arsenal and Chelsea. After Arsenal and Chelsea, you go to La Liga. After La Liga, you watch which other league? Serie A. Only you. You will watch 90 minutes if there's no extra time, 3 times. You can't read your Bible for 90 minutes. You can't use the 90 minutes to think of how to better your life. There are some of us that are addicted to series. Poor time management is a little fox killing many of us. You will check all the pictures on Instagram. Time is money. Time is value. The earlier you value time, the better for you. That's why you see people are in their 50s, 40s. They say a fool at 40 is a fool for life. But many people have crossed 40 and they can't. They can't account for many. They can't give account of many things. Not because there's anything, but because they wasted time. Please, the little fox that may be hindering you, killing your vineyard, might be poor time management. You don't need more time. You only need to control time. It's simple. Let your values be clear. If you are into sports, of course, you must watch your ball, if that is your field, your area of business. I'm telling you that you are a business person, what have you got to do with watching 2 or 3 matches in one day? What have you got to do with that? Sitting down and watching films that will just make you laugh. Not that you are taking holiday, you are relaxing. No, I mean, it's a pattern. Let us control time. It's a little fox. Number two is ingratitude. Ingratitude is a little fox that destroys many people's progress, both to God and man. Please show gratitude. Everybody that does you good deserves a good thank you. Not doing so, not giving proper gratitude, might close the door for more blessings. Any small thing anybody does for you, don't see it as a right. See it as a privilege. Reciprocate with gratitude. Are we together? It is natural. People love people who are grateful. Even God himself loves people who are grateful. Don't be hindered by this little fox. in 2026. Any service, anything done to you, done for you, show gratitude to people. Number three, another little fox to tame is procrastination. Ha! You know why it's a little fox? Because you are not seeing it as if it's anything big. Procrastination, I will do it. I will do it tomorrow. I will do it next week. I will do it next week. Do it now. I will, can be very dangerous. In every aspect of life, don't procrastinate. Hey, brother, you will talk to that sister. You will talk to that sister. Another person may talk to her before you. Procrastination is dangerous. Hey, brother Chino, so Ephraim. Oh, sorry, I caught somebody's name. Procrastination is not good. It's a little fox. I will start that business tomorrow. I will start that investment tomorrow. You are delaying. I will do this tomorrow. You are delaying. It's dangerous. Any good idea that has come to you, the only thing that should make you delay is that you are doing your proper homework. You are doing a proper study. Other than that, if God has given you an idea, you have seen a business opportunity, stop saying, I see this shop that came out. I will check next week. Before you come back next week, another person might have collected it. Delay is dangerous. That's a popular saying. Procrastination is a little fox. Don't allow it this year. Catch it. I will apply for that visa next week. I'm waiting for it. If God did not tell you to wait, brother, don't wait. Are we together? If God did not tell you to wait, don't wait. Procrastination is a little fox. Another little fox that some of us need to catch, to tame, is laziness. Ha. Laziness is bad, though. Both for your spiritual life, laziness. Your business, laziness. Your job, laziness. If you are lazy, you will hinder yourself. It's true that we love and we are praying for God's favor. But if you don't tame laziness, you won't go far. Some people are not in the vigil tonight. It's not because of anything. It's because of laziness. Some. I didn't say everybody. Some. I will join next week, Jari. It's not because of anything. That person that is sleeping, there's a kind of dream that that person will have and jump up in their house and start praying. That time, they're not thinking of VG again. They will not tell you that VG is bad. Maybe they saw somebody that carried knife and stabbed them and it entered in the dream. Nobody will tell that person to stand up and pray. But come for vigil. So far, everything is going fine. I beg, I will join. I can be doing once a month. Don't allow laziness. In your business, don't allow laziness. Be diligent. In your job, be diligent. Laziness is a little fox that we must tame this year. Finally, so that we can go ahead into prayers. They are not limited to these things I've mentioned, but at least I'm only mentioning some in a way to empower us. Poor health management is a little fox. Poor health management. Last year, every day you are drinking Coke and Fanta. Then you are wondering why your sugar is reaching, your fasting sugar is reaching 130. But you can't drop Coke, you can't drop Fanta. There's one mommy that sugar was high. Mommy, what's the issue? She said she can't do without tea. When I mean tea, I'm not even talking of black tea. I'm talking of choco. Your Milo and your Bombita. I said, And she's wondering why her sugar is high. She can't. Mommy, you have to stop this. You have to stop this so that your sugar can come down. Some health challenges we have is not an attack. It's our own doing. It's our own doing. Be careful the water you drink. You have seen a pure water and a bottled water that you can't tell the company. The name looks like killer. You don't even know what it is. The way you carry the water self, you're wondering, is this, and that's what you're drinking. It's better you boil your water and drink. It's the truth. Let's be mindful of our health. Watch out for certain things. You are doing tea. Some people are cooking yam and be pouring sugar inside yam. Pour sugar. Some people are reacting. If I say you are the duam, you are killing yourself. Poor health management is a serious little, is a little fox, because it's not looked at as something serious. You are wondering why you are having arthritis. You are complaining every time of leg pain, knee pain. When you will stay from morning to night sitting down, you won't even move around. Even to come out of your compound and be walking up and down. Or just to intentionally say, okay, let me walk to and fro the street. It's very bad. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. If you don't manage your health, you know the effects. If you break down, can you talk of money when you're lying on the hospital bed? And the most painful thing is once a terminal sickness comes, or even all your savings and investment and business money, you start channeling to treat yourself. When we talk of life, we don't remember property or material. So health is wealth. Let's be wise-hearted as Christians. Poor health management is a little fox killing the progress of many of us. Some of us, the constant weakness and fatigue might be as a result of your health management. Please, 2026 is our year of multiplication and we'll be blessed. But let us tame the giants and the little foxes. If we have a fulfilling year, we must identify the giants that are confronting us. We must search for the little foxes destroying our vineyard. And we must take actions and tame them, not only through prayers, but by actions also. There are things that is not prayer, it is action that you need. Please identify your own fox, identify your own giants, tame them. So that this year, when we are all dancing and coming for Thanksgiving, you will not be frowning. You will not be looking at other people and be crying. You too will be coming because the Lord has done you good. And the Lord will do you good this year in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have been blessed, can you put your hands together? And let's be on our feet.